Welcome back to another episode of the Reseller's Mindset Podcast. My name is Mike, also known as a used book guy on YouTube, along with my friend and fellow full-time reseller, Johnny B. We help people start and grow their reselling businesses from the ground up. We also have a weekly Zoom call and private Discord for all YouTube members. Head on over to youtube.com/usedbookguy to join the channel and gain access to the full-length podcast, Zoom call, and private Discord today. Let's get into this week's episode.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Reseller's Mindset Podcast. Mike next to Johnny. Running a lean operation, kind of the whole, focal point of my business. Not necessarily, because I do push some big numbers some weeks. And when I do dive into bulk, I do kind of send in a lot of the inventory. So I don't even think I necessarily have a lean operation. But I do enjoy the idea of having an inventory of maybe only 100 SKUs. And you sell the same items, or maybe you sell in a category where, you know, we talk about it all the time. Maybe you're the phone seller or the expensive bag, designer bag seller, and you just keep looking for the same items because you know what they're worth. You know what, how desirable they are. I think if you have a super lean operation in reselling, that's the best place to be, honestly, at the end of the day.
Right. I mean, you can go large. You can what's behind you in your background there. And you can go deep and wide in that aspect, have 50 employees, the forklifts, all of this, that, and the other. But if you have a lean operation, maybe you and a small team, maybe at the pinnacle of where you're ever going to be, maybe 3 to 5 people, I think that is the best place to be, as it's in and out. Your efficiencies are so good. Your processes are so good. You built in automation where you would normally need an employee. You've now replaced that with either software or some kind of AI extension, or maybe your employees are all mainly BA and they're paper pushers, more or less. That I think is more ideal than the gigantic warehouse of doom and destruction. That's all great, and they make for great photos on Instagram, but their overhead is ginormous by doing that. Even if you got them for $12 an hour employees, they're pushing 40-hour weeks, a lot of them, maybe plus 3 optional overtime hours or something of that nature. Payroll is going to be your most comparable to probably your rent, unless you own a building. Then payroll is definitely your biggest expense.
Yeah, I think about it. I just look. I sell over 1,000 units a month on Amazon, right? What if you just sold 100 units that were 10x the ASP of your 1,000 units, right? That's the idea I like. I'm just like, well, I don't have to do as much work, as much prep, as much sourcing. But yet again, can you find this stuff that you can have the margins to have a sustainable business if you're planning on running a super lean operation? I think that's the catch-22. That's why you kind of see, you know, if we look at the video game category, right? They're buying at 70, 80% of market value, and they're squeezing out the extra 20, 25%, but their items are more desirable. So they have a faster turnover of the money. I think the trap is people try to run a lean operation and they don't have desirable items or even high ASP items. So you're never going to be able to see any type of success when you got 100 or 1,000 items listed and it's all, you know, $5 to $25 junk. If you're going to be lean, we're talking $75, $100 plus dollar ASP if you only want to carry a small inventory, because you got to make money doing this. And usually, in these super lean operations, you got to pay more up front. So for my 1,000 units I sell on Amazon, maybe cost me $1,000 at $1 a piece for those, versus maybe I only sell 10 units a month, but I had to pay $500 for each to make $200 on each one of those. So it's more cash intensive up front, and resellers are so afraid to spend more than $1. That's why you really don't see any of those type of operations, and they're really not as flashy, right? If I'm selling the same 10 items, same 50, 100 items, it's kind of hard to, it's not exciting, right? You're just kind of like we do. It's just a boring job that makes you money.
Right. And even those bigger operations, they're willing to sell things to make $2 profits on an item, but they sling up so many, they may sell, I don't know, 200 to 500 units a day. And that's how they're able to at least maintain operations. I mean, some of them can't maintain it even at that low margin, but they deal with so many products, they kind of have to do that, or else they spend 90% of the time throwing stuff away. Now, for a lean operation, I think what you need is consistency and efficiency in processes. The consistency comes in maybe, well, definitely for yourself, but once you bring in people, you have to have consistent people. It's none of this, my tummy hurts or I got a toothache. There's none of that bullshit. They come in, they clock in, they say hi, maybe you say hi back, and they get to work. Then they say bye, boss, and I say bye, see you tomorrow, and they come in tomorrow. Those are the people you need. There's little yap time, there's all work time, and it's the same thing every day, consistency, and it's repeatable. Just like your sources coming in every day, or you have a route, you go out and do it every day, or whatever. The employees have to be consistent, but before you can even have that, you have to have consistency with yourself. And unfortunately, well, not unfortunately, just what's going to happen is you need a schedule. You need to have a schedule for yourself. That's the only way I see you running a tight, lean operation with some kind of schedule. I hate to say it, but when I hear people say, "I just wake up when I want to, I'm a reseller," I cringe at that so hard. I'm like, no, you're lazy is what you are. And if I'm talking to you and you feel like I'm calling you out, well, that's exactly what I'm doing. Get yourself a damn schedule and get to work, my good sir, ma'am. You'll thank me later. You'll hate me now, though.
Yeah, that was me many moons ago. I think you can be a larger seller and still have a lean operation, but I think you have to be more in tune with the market you're selling in and selling to. Because if you're not going to carry a million different SKUs like we're talking about, you have to know what's exactly going on. I think about like if I was going to be a lean bookseller, right? Like maybe I would just niche down and just do like the what are the fancy books called again?
What's up, Amazon sellers? We wanted to take a second to talk about GoToLister, the software me and Johnny both use to list and manage our inventory and grow our businesses. With the fastest listing speeds out there and built-in profit analytics, it's a no-brainer. Easily and quickly have items available for sale using 2D barcodes and get more for your items with its built-in smart pricing. Make sure to check out the 30-day free trial at GoToLister.com/Mike or using the link in the description below.
Oh, like the boutique labels, Easton
Easton
Press,
Press, right?
Soapfellow
Like I
Society.
would just kind of like go that route and just be the Easton Press person that I know. If I pay 70% of the market value, that I could get that extra 30% out. I think that's a it's a more I don't know how to even say it's not more time
Luxury.
consuming because if you think about it, you're going to be going out and sourcing all these crappy items anyway. You just spend your time differently. You instead of going and buying all the junk, you spend more time researching more items you're going to pay more dollars for. So I think on surface level, people think that it's not possible, but dude, I love the idea of not having, 5,000 plus pieces of items sitting in my inventory. And a lot of the mega sellers, they don't have tons of SKUs. In media, yeah, sure, but in other categories, they carry small amount of SKUs, like they don't have to play this game of you're always looking for the next item or like wholesale, right? You go to the brand, you know what you're getting, you make your 20, 25%, 30%, and you kind of wash your hands of it. With us, it's just your average reseller. It's tough to kind of get out of that mindset of, oh, I got to go to the thrift store and I got to look everything up and see what it's going for on eBay or Amazon.
Right, I think that's a good point. If you need to make concessions, like in your scenario, it's probably eBay. I mean, you can sell Easton on Amazon as well, but it sells. I think the sell-through is just as good as on eBay, honestly. The thing about eBay is once you make that listing, you now have it forever and it's repeatable. Like you said, limited amount of SKUs, and yeah, they have new books come out every year. But yeah, also I think with that kind of niching down, you're more focused. And your travel may go up a little bit. You may have to drive farther to get the library collection of Easton Press, but that's okay because your product is on point. You know exactly what you're getting. You know it'll sell within the month that you listed, either sending a box to Amazon or listing on eBay itself. And that's an interesting concept. Can you niche down in Amazon? I think you can. Yeah, I definitely think you can, but you got to investigate and know your SKUs, know when to rotate your SKUs in and out. But you could run a tight, lean, high ASP operation inside Amazon land.
Yeah, it won't be in used books, used
It won't
CDs, used
be
DVDs.
easy, but it's definitely doable.
Yeah, I think it's the most appealing reselling business to have, is not having to, always juggle. Just think about, like, unless it's a box of DVDs, and even the DVDs are different sizes. Like, dude, putting together a box of books is like Jenga that you got to do every single week, right? So it's like, imagine just uniform sizes, right? You just fill the Lowe's box up and everything fits perfectly. You can fit exactly 24 of this. You know exactly how many's in there. You know the exact weight of the box, right? Like,
You don't even need to weigh it.
this sounds like this is dreamland for me, right? Like, sign me up for this, but it's not as easy, right? As much if it was that easy, everybody
I
would
think
do
it's
it.
hard. It would be hard to do it, but once your initial work's done, and you just have to stay on top of the rotation because things fall out of trend phase and they come back, or there's new things out that are newly trendy. You got to figure out, do I drop SKUs? Do I add SKUs back in? And SKUs is universal here between eBay and Amazon, because you're replenishing. I don't care where you're replenishing at. That's all you're really doing. And then maybe you replenish new items that you bring in your own personal buy catalog for the year.
I got a crazy idea for everybody to have a leaner business, and this would kind of be cool now that I think about it, right? So Amazon Lane, you have prep centers, right? So you just throw yourself in a box, send it to the prep center, or you buy things online, it goes directly to the prep center, not your house, right? That's one idea of it, right? So what if you just factored in the $2 they charge you per item, and the 50 cents per item to ship it to the prep center? And you never had to list your own items again, and you just fill the box up and send it to them, or vice versa, right? Like the idea of consignment, right? Like theoretically, if I send Johnny enough stuff, like I send Johnny, I don't know, over the course of a year, I send Johnny 10,000, 15,000, like I could have a whole an eBay business, right? And I wouldn't have to ever list anything myself. I would never have to do a photo myself. Like that is like kind of talking about, like, I hear a lean and I'm like, less work. I mean, yeah, do I give up 50% of the sale to Johnny? Do I have to pay to ship it to him? Yeah, but at the end of the day, I don't do nothing else. I mean, that's just it. You just sit back and get paid.
Yeah. And then even for myself, when receiving is 10,000 units, 9,999 of them are going to another person. So I've created a lean operation on that, on this chain of events we're talking about here. Then that poor other person has to decide how much of this shit's going to McKay's and Mike's versus I'm actually going to list it on eBay.
Yeah, but I mean, even if I was doing like all desirable stuff, right? Like, even if
Yeah.
I'm just doing Easton presses and I accounted for that when I was making the buying decisions, you could have a nice little business where you theoretically, I mean, I've seen this out in thrift stores. There's companies that you can scan for it and they'll tell you, hey, we'll give you $5 for this book, $6 for the. I've seen a lady, she's scanning everything using one of those apps. So she doesn't have an Amazon account. She just scans for that. She says, well, the books are 99 cents here. Anything they're going to pay me more than 99 cents for, I buy, throw it in a box, send it to them. They pay me through PayPal right
I want to
away.
talk to that person. Like, they're just running the buyback program business, and I want to meet the powerhouse who's maximized that. I want to talk to them. I have questions.
It was an older lady, and I tried to explain to her that she's getting ripped off because I was talking to her for a little bit.
But
And she,
is she though?
yeah, dude, because they don't pay on the fast moving stuff, they give you a decent amount, but anything that isn't like going to sell within the week, like they were giving her like $3, $4 on some of these books. Like I scanned, like I was scanning in her cart, like those are like $30 bills all day long, right? So I think if the spread was closer and it wasn't as scammy on their end, 100%, she's better off, right? She don't got to
Yeah,
deal
but
with
she's
all the
got no
shit.
fees and she's got no liquidations or any of that.
Yeah, if the spread was better, I think 100% she would
Yeah.
have the better business model. But for a lot of that stuff, they kind of shortchange it because they know people don't know better. They just want to get
Yeah.
money for their items, so they kind of take advantage of that. But I mean, you can be super big and super lean, like Johnny said. You just have to have the processes. If you're going to have the warehouse, you're going to need the equipment. You can't be, diving into Gaylords yourself. You can't be getting, pallets of clothing and pallets of shoes. And there's so many processes that go into it. And I think that's going to be the key part is once you find the product, you could almost say the product's getting the product is going to be harder than actually having processes in place that don't consume your whole life, or having employees in place that aren't going to suck the life out of you. And if something goes wrong or their tummy hurts and they can't come in, you're kind of screwed.
Yeah, I mean, even if you're running a bulk operation, if you run a bulk lean operation, that's a beautiful place to be. Instead of 20 employees, again, you have like a max of five. It's you plus five other people, and two of them are just to account for they got a dentist appointment, they got a doctor's appointment, just so every day it's maximized. And that would be amazing. And maybe you don't have like back you there. I see a lot of warehouses, they go extremely tall, right? Then they get the equipment to go up there. Instead of tall, maybe you got, I don't know, you built a custom warehouse where it's long and not tall, and nothing's beyond 6 feet. Everything's within an arm reach. Then you can rule out a whole bunch of equipment you don't need, and or the maintenance that goes along with it, and or replacements when needed. I mean, if you can run the bulk lean operation, I think you've won the game entirely.
I've seen them, dude, right? The conveyor belts that it scans it and then it'll actually go down the belt and it'll actually push it into what Gaylord it goes to. So it'll scan for like all of the different buyback companies, Amazon, Crosslist, and all of it. And then there's all you need is an employee that's laying the book, barcode up, scans it, and then it goes down, boom, kicks it right out, kicks it right out, kicks. But I mean, we're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars. And most people will never get there, but I think a lot of people try to run a lean operation and they just don't have the quality and they don't have like the processes to be like, hey, you know, this actually works and I'm only working 5, 10 hours a week, right? Like it's tough.
I helped somebody set up a manual conveyor belt over Zoom. And you know those rolly things you see at the airport that luggage go on? That was their conveyor belt. It wasn't automated, so everything rolled. And then they had a, what were they called? Squeegees. It would squeegee them over into the Gaylord thing when they needed to bump them in. And it was a manual thing, and it was low cost. It was probably less than a grand. And it was like, this is awesome. This is terrible, but it's awesome at the same time, right? But they had a tight labor force going. There's only three of them, so they were able to do it pretty quick and process maybe, I don't know, 3 or 4 to 5 pallets a day, and then go push the buggies where they need to go. So I think it can be done, and some ingenuity, and probably on your front or maybe the team's front, you all get together and do a think tank. You can cut things you don't need. I think the equipment, the space, the multiple employees, these are luxury, probably overspending things you don't necessarily need. Some of them you do need. Maybe you do need the, I don't know, 80 feet tall warehouse for reasons you want to go vertical instead of horizontal, and you got your own reasonings for that. But at the end of the day, I think all things are possible, and the tighter you are, the tighter your staff is. Even if you have plans for no staff, you're going to need a VA or two just for the paperwork alone. So I don't think you can go entirely solo these days, or maybe use ChatGPT. We'll consider that an employee, a robot employee, but an employee in itself. I think incorporating all of this over time, don't do it right now, new seller who's listening, like, I'm getting a VA tomorrow. No, need to wait. Incorporating all of these things together will make your business sing.
I agree. I think everybody should strive to run a leaner business, whether that's getting time back or making more dollars per hour and just refining some of your processes or maybe adding on something that's going to make your business leaner, like Johnny's saying. Theoretically, adding an employee could make your business leaner if you have a big need for it for a part of your business that's sucking up your whole life and you can do more money making activities and just let this person do this one thing that kind of really isn't producing the money. It's all a balance and act. And I don't think anybody should just work to work and reselling. Like, that's why I try to be as lazy as I possibly can be and as profitable as I possibly can be. It's hard to kind of get that mixed down. In Amazon land, you can get away with it just like you can in, you know, even any generic reselling. You can drag along a shitty reselling business for years and years and years. So you really don't think that there's another way until you do something different. And then you're like, wait a minute, I've been doing this wrong forever. I'm like, I could have got how much of my time back if I just made this one change, right? So you should always be looking for little things that are gonna make your business leaner. And for me, like I've always been about, I want to spend as little time as I possibly can Sure, the other argument is, well, Mike, if you go spend more time, you can make more money. Yes, but that's not 100% guarantee. How many people work all these hours in reselling and their wage goes down? They're just spending time doing shit that has no effect on their business, or they're doing things that aren't being done correctly. They're listing items that are never going to sell, or they're screwing around with trying to do 10 different platforms and all this other nonsense.
Or maybe they're juggling, they're trying to do FBA, OA, and RA and do some eBay in that too. That's a bit too much, in my opinion, for one person. Now, can you? Yes. Should you? Probably not.
I agree. It's the same idea I tell everybody, don't try to do all these damn different platforms. Same idea when people cross list. I'm gonna list my junk on all the platforms. Well, it's still junk at the end of the day. So you just by listing non-desirable items, you are literally creating a problem for yourself. I don't think people realize this. They're just like, well, I'm just gonna list this stuff and eventually it'll sell on one of the 35 platforms it's listed on. I'm like, no, it's never going to sell. It will sit there forever. You know, like people don't realize when you list an item, it's not guaranteed to sell, right? There's no, it's hard to find, right? Only the super lean,
If
desirable
that were
goods.
true, my eBay store would be zero items right now. I have there are things that may sell in 5 years down the road. And then that all eBay stores grow as long as you're listing consistently. There are very few stores that shrink. And the stores that shrink are kind of like what we're talking about. They have a limited replenishable SKU system going on, and they upload them in, they sell out, they do it again and again and again. Versus most eBay stores where they just grow continuously. There's just, we list more that's profitable to us, and then there's the stuff that's left over. And then at some point, the stuff that's left over, we got to make a call. Do we burn it? Do we try to make it a lot? Or we just, I don't know, donate it?
Yeah, I mean, even if you look at yours, like you do your listings different than anybody else on the platform. So it's like the generic reseller will just list it and then expect that, well, I listed it, eventually it's got to sell. And I'm here to tell you, there is no guarantee that anything is going to sell that you list. And I think that's so like, oh, well, I listed it and I'm just going to stick it on the shelf and it'll eventually sell. Like you literally just wasted time working for no damn reason at all. Like if we can get away from those types of products, right? Then we're going to be good. But you can't be the person that's just going to list your generic item with your generic listing and nothing's different and there's two
I can't
photos.
list the Pattersons or the Noras. It just doesn't work for my store. Those stay away.
It's crazy to me because people think they're working and you're not. You're just wasting time. And I guess it justifies spending all these hours. I want you all to be the most profitable and have the highest dollar per hour and all the people that complain about dollar per hour and resell, and they'll be in the comment sections, but I don't care. At the end of the day, we should be making as much money and as little bit of time. I don't care what business this is. Nobody's like, I want to work all these hours and make as little bit of money as I possibly can, said no successful business person ever.
True. Oh man, it's crazy to me. What I look around, even in our group in the Discord, I see a lot of people wasting time. I don't say too much on it because part of it is I could tell them, but it's kind of like we said in the other podcast, they got to learn from themselves that they're wasting their time. Now, if they come out and say, "I think I'm wasting my time," then I'll chime in. Yes, you are, and here are the 10 reasons why. But
I agree.
until that point, they gotta learn from themselves, and there's no amount of screaming I could do. And I've tried screaming at them before. It doesn't work.
At least in Amazon land, you can set up some settings where things automatically get burned after 12 months, right? So
Yeah.
like I guess I'm contributing to the ecosystem of the never ending supply of stuff that doesn't sell, but
I
like
think they just take those items and list them as new.
probably it.
That's my theory.
I mean, I remember when I was an everything seller on eBay, dude. Like, I would list something and it would sit there. And, like, especially when I didn't have that big of a store, like, I never really had over, I don't even think I had close to 1,000 items ever listed on eBay. And, like, I see the same shit that I bought and it didn't sell yet. And I know it cost me $5 or whatever. And it just, like, it drives me nuts. But for some reason, people can just block that out. They just block out the fact that pair of shoes has been there for 3 years, and I just let it continue to like they'll go into that bin to pick other items for the next 5 years, and it just every time they open it, they know what's in there, and they just let it exist.
Yeah, it's a thing, unfortunately. I mean, it's like X amount of time goes by, you gotta toss those pair of shoes, man. It's occupying space for shoes that will sell. That's the thing. The real estate, if you're the merchant fulfiller, I don't care if it's eBay, Amazon, or some other place where you're shipping the item yourself, you have to value your space. That space is not free occupancy, even if you are in your home. It has an assigned value. So what's your assigned value to it? And then, sure, this pair of shoes may meet that assigned value, but they're not selling. So that's basically zero value.
I agree. We'll wrap this episode up here. We want you to have a leaner operation. And just because you're leaner doesn't mean you're less profitable. Honestly, most leaner operations are more profitable than us idiots over here, like me and Johnny, that have thousands and thousands and trillions and billions and gazillions of books, CDs, DVDs laying around listed. This is a lot of work. And, we would trade it in if we could just find, 100 of the same item and sell it, significantly all the time and have a higher sell through. So always be thinking about what can you do to get some of your time back, make some more money, make your processes a little bit easier. And we'll talk to you all in next week's episode.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Resellers Mindset Podcast. Today's full episode and all previous episodes are available to all YouTube members, along with the weekly Zoom call and private Discord. Head on over to youtube.com/theusedbookguy and consider joining for as little as $2.99 a month.